Jackie Chan was covering the trial.
Where was the parents when the girl was getting...
Women lined up, most of them African-American, they lined up to show support for R. Kelly.
He's not guilty at all. They just want to bring him down and kill his image.
Not support for the victims. Not support for the young girl, whomever she was on the tape. And that was shocking to many of us.
There were young girls who were at the courthouse every single day for the trial. They were fans, but somehow they got to talk to him.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back. This is the follow-up to the R. Kelly versus Lifetime series debate insanity that's been going on. This episode is a little bit more geared toward the information that has been out there, and yeah, clips from the actual Lifetime show. I'm going to let you guys listen and let you guys make your own opinions about it. I've stated my opinion about it in episode one about how his mental illness from his childhood is a direct result of his behavior as an adult, and until you heal his brain and his thought process about it, then it's not going to change the person's behavior. And I still feel strongly about it. And so punishing him in any manner, physically or removing songs or things like that, isn't necessarily going to help the issue. But in no way, shape, or form gives him a pass for his behavior. But I just feel that it's a little bit more deeper than how it seems. Here are a few excerpts from the documentary.
Anymore after I found out that she was that much younger. We had sex in his home twice. I didn't see his wife at the house, but there was a situation between me, him, and the younger woman where he did tell me that his wife was upstairs when we were in the, I call it the Colorado room, the room with all the wood where the infamous sex tape was filmed, that when we were down there one time, he did tell me that she was upstairs.
Girls that were seeing the other side of him. Did you notice them? Do you know how, were they young at that time?
No, he never brought any of them around me. He was never abusive to anybody in front of me. He was never a person that, you know, like, hey, do y'all hear that in the room next door? Is that fighting or something? I mean, we have to be realistic about the storyline too. Seeing some like that, we really are not going to be together because you're showing me up front who your monster is. So I think that he strategically did what he did with me. He kept it away from me for a reason. It's like sometimes I often wish I would have just known up front. I really do. I wish that I would have been able to see the fullness of the monster I was dealing with, because it probably would have saved me years and years of pain. It would have saved me years of abuse. It would have saved me years of being alienated from my family if I just would have known up front what the hell I'm dealing with.
When we first started having sex, Rob was behind the camera, and he pretty much would talk us through the motions. He would never ask me if it was okay to be filmed, but he never hit the camera or anything like that. he would just pull out his tripod and his camera, and he had the whole thing, the lighting. He'd set it up, and he liked to have control of the situation because he would tell you what to do anyways when you were having sex. When he would put the camera up, he'd just say, make sure you're sitting properly for the camera, you know, for whatever angle. And when he'd be done filming, he'd just put it in his bag. It was 2000, around the same time when I did the I Wish video with him. I was in the studio. I was in the room, and he left the bag in the room with me. And I just happened to open the bag up, and I started popping the tapes in to see what was on them. It was a whole bunch of different tapes with him having sex with different young girls, I guess, and women. But I came across the one with me, him, and the 14-year-old. I watched it, and as I fast-forwarded some, I'd see other scenes with just him and her, without me. Her face, her chest, just wherever it was going, he just was as if she was a toilet. He was just peeing, you know, just letting it go wherever. I thought it was gross and weird and belittling.
In regards to the tapes, Robert taping himself, he's always did that. Robert recorded everything. I mean, R. Kelly tapes his sexual encounters. And he watched his own movies.
Abusers often want trophies from their criminal acts. So people will take things and be able to place memories and place maybe even sexual feelings on trophies that they've taken. And it's power play. You get to actively replay the act. And when that's not enough, then you make another tape.
My name is Abdin Palish. I was the legal affairs reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Our rock critic, Jim DeRogatis, got a fax laying out that there was a relationship going on with R. Kelly, with an underage girl. Jim's the one who really heard about the dynamic that was going on, in which people in R. Kelly's own circle were saying that there was an issue there where he was just hanging out with young girls. And Jim had gotten word that some of these young women had actually filed suit against him. You know, he approached me as a legal affairs reporter, you know, can we check this out? And, you know, I went and started pulling lawsuits, and sure enough, there were some. And they generally settled out of court. But the allegations were pretty explosive.
We started uncovering a series of lawsuits that had been filed and settlements that had been reached with young women that claimed that they had sex with R. Kelly when they were underage.
Our first story ran December 21st, 2000. And it said that R. Kelly had been sued by all these girls. The suits all added together seemed to show a pattern of behavior of him going after very young girls for sexual relationships.
Minors, you settled out of court.
Yeah.
In this country, many people will assume that means you were guilty. Why'd you settle?
I really can't go into detail about that particular thing because when I filed the lawsuit, of course, I signed a piece of papers that saying I couldn't discuss those.
So there's a confidentiality agreement after the fact.
Exactly.
The idea that R. Kelly was using non-disclosure agreements to keep these young girls and their families quiet, that means that he is cognizant of the kind of things that he's doing, and he's trying to protect himself on the front end. And I think that this is the thing that makes him, to me, more of a predator.
You can get people to sign NDAs. We can make people go away with a check. We don't have to do this in court in front of the cameras and in front of, you know, the paparazzi and the tabloids. We can make these things go away.
In these next couple of clips, they are discussing the alleged sex tape that was out when I was younger of R. Kelly and these younger women. Take a listen.
Ever since this tape thing, this rumor has come out, you know, it's been a whole lot of people, you know, it's been a R. Kelly day, man. It's been people trying to, you know, say this or say that coming out of Woodworth on me, you know, just trying to get paid. I'm not a monster to people that people are saying I am. And if people out there have a tape of me and they're saying it's with me and a young girl, a minor, then they're sadly mistaken or they're lying.
In his mind, I think he believes some of his own sick lies. In his mind, he didn't do it. He has no level of personal accountability as it relates to his poor behavior.
His attempt to say it wasn't him is ridiculous. At one point, he's having sex with this woman, and somebody is yelling from another room, you know, R, Kels, pick the phone. It's a phone for you. And, like, yelling his name.
Eventually, bootleg copies of the tape start showing up around the country. People are watching it in clubs.
This tape was duplicated and was all for sale all over the South Side. So you could drive up to one of these outdoor flea markets and get a tape of R. Kelly, allegedly R. Kelly, having sex with an underage girl.
This is before the whole advent of sex tapes, and I think the tape came on VHS. As a matter of fact, it was a VHS tape.
That tape was rushed to me from Chicago. And looking at this tape, I'm like, oh. Robert has a problem.
A lot of people saw that P-tape. It was circulating in the streets. It was like a bootleg that went around. I don't remember what I was thinking at that time, but I'm like, how did he get away with this?
I gotta tell you, as a mother and as a grandmother and as a black woman, I was sickened by what I saw.
It contained very graphic, hardcore porn. If I could just be blunt. Various sexual acts, including urination, oral sex, everything that you can name.
Then there'd just be denial after denial from people in the community that knew R. Kelly. They just say, oh, it's all wrong, it's all wrong. These are people out to get R. Kelly. But, you know, you can't be dissuaded. You can't be intimidated out of these things. We didn't let up our reporting at all. Made aware that there was a 14-year-old girl, his bass player's daughter, that he was having a sexual relationship with. At that time, we were doing the stories.
Chicago Sun-Times contacted me and wanted me to come down to their offices to view tapes that possibly had girls on it that I may have known. On the tape, my niece has the same hairstyle she had when she turned 14. That was her, for sure. And that was him, definitely.
I remember the first time we were in Detroit and he came to me and he told me about the videotape. He say, man, you gotta help me, man. We gotta pray, man. Because these videos, man, I can't stop taping myself, man. And so we prayed.
I was privy and shown videos while I was still employed and, you know, around, yes. I never saw the bags of videos because I think I would have been like, well, what the hell are you doing? You know, what are you doing? But yes, I did see several videos.
You know, I didn't know what was ahead with those tapes, but Robert did. And he used to come to me and he used to talk to me about that. I said, man, this is gonna get me in trouble, man. I can't seem to stop. This is gonna destroy me.
Up next is a set of clips about the R. Kelly trial. Take a listen.
As the years go by, there's never any trial date set for the Chicago charges. And we're wondering, what has taken so long? This has never happened. No one can think of a case that has gone on for year after year after year like this. It's in R. Kelly's interest to have this delay as long as possible. You'd much rather have a 21-year-old girl on the stand than a 14-year-old girl on the stand. The right to speedy trial under the U.S. Constitution is sort of a right guaranteed to the defendant. So if the defendant thinks that things are dragging on too long, the defendant can say, hey, I have a right to a speedy trial. We have to go to trial within the next 60 days, whatever. R. Kelly never took advantage of that.
Rob's team put it off for all those years because if it wasn't fresh in people's mind, you know, they wouldn't really be concerned with what was going on.
Long-delayed child pornography trial begins. Kelly is accused of videotaping himself having sex with an underage girl sometime between January 1998 and November 2000. Kelly's defense team contends it is not Kelly on the tape.
I just want to say y'all need to leave him alone. That's not R. Kelly.
One of the things that was laughable with Robert trying to profess his innocence was that was his brother Kerry on a tape. He definitely does not look like Robert. You can tell them apart. That was laughable to me because I'm like, really? You gonna throw your brother there now?
It seems sort of like a Hail Mary pass to try and say it could be his brother there in the tape.
He never said it out of his mouth, but his legal team did. So I had to speak out to defend myself, my character, you know. And so I did.
If you just turn on your radio, we're talking to Harry Kelly, R. Kelly's younger brother. You did a body double for your big brother, Robert, and your body's calling, and things kind of turned, you know, a little ugly when this whole child molestation thing came into play, and people were trying to say it was you.
His attorney said that it was me in the videotape.
What?
That was their argument. He never came forth and said, hey, you know what y'all are hearing is not true.
I am not a child molester, but it definitely wasn't my brother in that video.
Exactly. And when my kids started getting teased at school, I had a 15-year-old
daughter
that got stumped by 15 girls. I made police reports the whole nine. She was just defending her father. That's it.
So tell me what you saw on this tape with these 12-year-old girls. Why do we say that they're 12?
Well, because he's like he was interviewing them on these tapes.
The girls were on there being interviewed by him, and they're saying their real names and that they're 12 years old. You see the sex and all like that.
Right.
You think your brother's going to do jail time? Or do you think he's going to get off?
Well, my opinion is this. What's done in the dark shall come to the light, and everybody on this earth got to pay for what they've done. Even if he don't do jail time, he still got to pay for what he done.
There's a lot of variables in that. To this day, I can't put it on one. But I believe there's a combination of things that affected how this outcome came about.
I recognized the 14-year-old's body because I had had sex with her and Robert. So, you know, it was no doubt in my mind that it was her body. I mean, we've done oral on each other. I mean, I touched her breast. I, you know, looked at, you know, those parts. So it was no doubt in my mind that it was her.
When I came forward, it was important to me to stand up and tell the truth in the trial and be a witness for the prosecution in the trial. I did have to make eye contact with Robert because they wanted us to identify him as the defendant. I had to sit up a little bit to see him because he was slouched down in the chair. And when I did that, he looked at me, but then put his head down. And I was like, yeah, that's him right there. That's him. My oldest brother did get on the stand. And he said that it wasn't her. It wasn't my niece on the tape. I don't know what my family was thinking. Like I said, we were estranged. For 10 years, I didn't speak to my family because of it. It's crazy.
The case against R. Kelly is complicated by the fact that there is no accuser. Like Kelly, the girl alleged to be on the tape says, it wasn't me.
Being a mom now, you can't fathom your child being in that situation. I would do anything to protect my child and to keep my child safe. For all I know, she wanted to just live a normal life. And I felt really torn because, you know, my faith and my morals told me I needed to come forward because what he did was wrong, and that's all I knew. And I was trying to, you know, keep him from doing it ever again. I just want to know why, at the end of the day, he could sleep at night knowing that he's affecting these innocent young girls, girls that are still trying to figure out themselves, still trying to figure out relationships, and taking full advantage of that. I will never understand that. It's sickening.
The courtroom thought he was going to be found guilty.
Rob was very scared of going to jail.
They announced the verdict.
When they said not guilty, every reporter's face was like, not guilty. You gotta be kidding me.
Kelly says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kelly's lawyers are ecstatic. They're hugging R. Kelly, who's crying. They seem to be almost taken by surprise.
I said one word. Wow. That was it.
I don't know if race played a part in this trial or not, but if it were white children that were being molested by a black man in this case, I'm sure Rob would have gone to jail very swiftly.
When he left home this morning, R. Kelly had no idea when he'd be back. His fate was in the hands of jurors who could have sent him to prison for years. Instead, tonight, they set him free.
With women that came out against him and said, I was in an underage relationship with him. He did this to me. He did that. What did
I just didn't believe them, the woman. I know it sounds ridiculous. The way they dress, the way they act, I didn't like them. I voted again. I disregarded all what they said.
I was happy for the verdict. Good the times. I was happy.
I felt wonderful when they said not guilty. That's how I felt. Wonderful.
I think that Robert wasn't convicted because my niece and sister and brother-in-law didn't come forward. Regarding criminal cases, if there is no willing participant, then really there's no case. I really don't know if my family was paid off. I know the family was still hanging out with him. My brother-in-law was still playing guitar on a lot of his songs. And that's what it is.
All right, beautiful people, that is the end of the show today. Thank you so much for listening and being open and receiving, and I appreciate you all. I would love to connect. You can either email me at smokedfree@gmail.com or the Smoked Free Podcast on Instagram. Or you can reach me on my personal page, Lejean Dantzler, one word, on Instagram. I would love to hear your thoughts and your opinions after this crazy, crazy event. I love you guys. I hope you stay well, stay blessed, and stay positive.